Okay, good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Peches. We're on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We are going over various scenarios in which a woman's going to be able to collect her ksuva, either with or without a shvua. The default position, of course, is that she's going to be collecting ksuva without a shvua. In other words, the note was written and she's holding the note, and so she is what's classically called a note holder. She's holding the, she's a balas chov, and she's holding the shtar chov. And so under normal circumstances, of course, she collects without a shvua. However, there are a lot of mitigating considerations, which is what we've been discussing now, last couple of days, specifically in the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph goes over a number of scenarios in which there's mitigation. And the only way that she's going to have to be, the only way that she can collect is only with a shvua. Good. So that's what we're in the middle of discussing right now. And so, Ibai Lahu. So we find ourselves on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. And we are towards the bottom of the Amud, although not yet, about a third from the bottom. Ibai Lahu Pocheses. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara now wants to know the following Pocheses Suvasa. So let's say conversation. Obviously, it's more than a conversation. It's a debate that exists between husband and wife. And that is that right now they are settling on a divorce. And he says to her, I paid you the ksuva. And she says, I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't pay me the ksuva. In fact, I'm still holding the note over here. So that already is pretty good proof that I am, in fact, still indebted, or you are indebted to me. But I will admit the following, and that is that the ksuva was grossly overinflated. Grossly overinflated? What does that mean, it was grossly overinflated? So that means to say that the she makes the following claim, and that is that, look, the face value, I'm giving numbers just for example purposes. The face value of the ksuva was 1,000 zuz. But I'm telling you, though, that at the chasna, like you and I both agree that it's not going to be 1,000. It'll be whatever, 500, 200, whatever the number is that they agreed upon. Huh. So this is what's called now a pocheses. Pocheses mean diminished value. So what she is countering with is that you didn't pay me the ksuva, but I'll give you this. And that is that the ksuva, the face value of the ksuva, was an overinflation, a high exaggeration of what the ksuva actually was. Huh. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, so now what? So pocheses ksuva sa mau. Mi amrin en hainu pogeme. So is that the same thing as pagam ksuva? Okay, what did we learn yesterday's daf? We learned that if she already accepted partial payment of the ksuva, and now she's looking to collect the balance, so the only way she can collect the balance is via shvua. That's what we learned yesterday. So maybe this is the same thing. Odilma, pogemes moji bemixas, ha loka moji bemixas. On the other hand, pogemes, so she's already making a partial admission. Partial admission engenders a shvua. Now yesterday, if you remember the Gemara, we suggested for a moment that it's a shvua daraisa. It's a classic shvua of moji bemixas. The Gemara immediately rejected that because it's not. The classic example of moji bemixas is where you make a claim for me, I make a partial admission, and now, in order so that I won't have to pay the balance, so now I'm going to make a shvua. Here, opposite. Over here, the mode of mixas is that she wants to get paid the balance of her ksuva. She'll be making a shvua so that she can collect. That's different. Okay, but nevertheless, it smells of, I know it's a funny language, it smells of modeh b'mixas, meaning at least it's got modeh b'mixas aspects to it. Over here, pocheses really, it's unusual. In other words, she's saying, I didn't get paid anything, but the ksuva was overinflated, highly exaggerated. Okay, so the tashmas, the Gemara says, okay, so I have a braisa. And here's what the braisa teaches me. Pocheses ki parshal b'shvua keitzad ha'isak ksuva lavzuz v'yamar lo iskabalt ksuva tzach v'yomer lo iskabalt einu ala mana nifra shalo b'shvua. All right, so the braisa says it very clearly. The braisa illustrates exactly the scenario of pocheses. And the braisa concludes by saying that she'll be able to collect the agreed amount below shvua without having to make a shvua. Now, but my gavya, Gemara now has a really simple and straightforward question. Okay, this example of a over-exaggerated, a hyper-inflated ksuva, like what's going on over here? Meaning she's coming to court now at the divorce and she's holding a note of 1,000 zuz. And here's what she's saying. Yeah, I know the note is for 1,000 zuz, but look, everyone got so excited at the wedding. In other words, right? Not so long ago, we even described how, you know, the nedunya gets hyperinflated. as it goes into the marriage. Look, everyone just got excited. Well, like he and I, like, you know, off the table agreed that we're writing 1,000. He's only committing himself to 100. Okay. It's strange in of itself. But aside from the fact that it's being strange, what's the mechanism, what's the vehicle in which she's going to now be able to collect Suva? Because she's coming to court with a note, but the note, of course, is not reflecting the true value of the obligation. So what is the vehicle? What's the mechanism? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara has a lovely way to describe this this shtar, and the shtar is chas babam. It's a piece of shard. It has no value because it doesn't represent the true value of the obligation. So I can't. The document itself is not going to be the vehicle. So I'm a Rava, Breid Rava, Balmeres. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to have to say is Amana Haisalei Beini Leveino. So the it's a mana, meaning it's going to be based on trust and confidence, meaning that we have to now abide by her word that there was a side agreement there at the chasna that this was going to be the agreed amount in which he's going to owe me upon either death or divorce. Okay, so the Gemara says, right, you're right. It's not going to be the shtar, and then of course it begs the question: well, if it's not going to be the shtar, so then what kind of collectible is this? Meaning, it's an obligation that is not, huh? Yeah, correct. That's an obligation that is not going to be bound by shtar. That's a little bit difficult. Meaning, is the Gemara suggesting here that that this obligation is not going to be secured by property because it's no longer a chov shebishtar? It's a little bit unclear. The Gemara ends the discussion and, admittedly, don't fully know where we landed on this point. But the Gemara says it's true. In other words, she can say pocheses, and that would be, in fact, a legitimate claim on her part. Okay. Anyway, edechad miyidashi perua. Okay. We continue, and we're just now going to go through the Mishnah and go over the mitigating circumstances in which a shua has to be made, and that is edechad. So here we go. Let's go over this scenario. Really straightforward. So she says, "No, I'm holding the note. You have to pay me the ksuva." And he's saying, what are you talking about? I paid you the ksuva, and not only that, I paid you be'ed echad. I paid you, and I have one witness that's going to support my position that I paid you. So now, in order for her to, so who wins this debate? So right now, she's in a better position, because she's holding the note. Her note is more powerful than his 1/8. However, even though she's in a better position, in order for her to collect, she has to make a shvuah. Now, here we go. Hopefully this will ring familiar, as we had the exact same formulation Rami Bar Chama yesterday when we suggested that the Moda B'Mikses of our Mishnah is also a Shvuah Daraisa. So over here, the Eidechad is a Shvuah Daraisa. And I'll say the same thing now that I said yesterday, and that is, how many Shvuahs are there Medaraisa? Three. Three Shvuahs Medaraisa. One is Eidechad, the other is Moda B'Mikses, and the third is Shvuah HaShomer. So Shvuah HaShomer we can ignore right now. But in other words, Shvuah Eidechad, one witness says that you owe me money. I deny it. No, but I have one witness. You have to make a Shvuah. Moda B'Mikses, I say you owe me 100. I say I gave you 50 already. Shvuah Moda B'Mikses. Those are two Shvuahs Medaraisa. So Rami Bar Chama, in yesterday's daf and in today's daf, looks at our Mishnah and says, those are examples. Our Mishnah's example of Shvuah Daraisa, right? Because it's Moda B'Mikses and Eid Echad. The Gemara is going to say today the same thing that I said yesterday. He's of course wrong. Meaning it was a nice try, but he's wrong. And that is that even the Eid Echad is not a Shvuah Daraisa in our Mishnah. Why not? Two reasons why not. So Savra Amin Bar Chama L'Amem Shvuah Daraisa Dichsev Lo Yikum Eid Echad B'Ish L'Chol Avon L'Chol Chatas L'Chol Avon L'Chol Chatas Hu Deinu Kam Aval Kam Hu L'Shvuah. So first, the Gemara gives the drashas about Shvuos Eid Echad, meaning Shvuos Eid Echad is not clearly articulated in the Torah, and therefore it's learned via drasha. But still, the drasha comes out to a din de oraisa. So the Amar Marko Makom Sheshnei Mechayv Maso Mamon Necha Mechayv Shvuah. In a place where two people would be Mechayv Mamon, one person would be Mechayv Shvuah. Okay, good. So that's the halacha of Shvuos Eid Echad. And so what Rami Bar Chama says is that's our Mishnah, right? So I'm a Rava. So Rava says, no, not right. Not right over here. Shei Shuvas Bedava, there are two counter arguments. Number one, Chadad Echol Nishman Shabbatara, Nishman V'lam Mishamim. Vihi Nishmas V'notelas. So question number one, as I described yesterday, slam dunk question, which is that the Shvuah D'oraisa of the Torah is a defensive Shvuah. You make a Shvuah so that you don't have to pay. Over here, her Shvuah is so that she will collect. That's an offensive Shvuah. So that's not what the Torah, that's not a Shvuah of the Torah. That's number one. And number two, the Va'od, Einish Balan, Kfir Shibud Karkos. And also, what is the Ksuva secured by? It's secured by property. You don't make a Shvuah on property. It's a rule. It's a Din D'oraisa. The Gemara Shvuah says Psukim, the Darshan it out. You do not make a Shvuah on Karka. And since you don't make a Shvuah on Karka, this can't be a Shvuah D'oraisa. It's a Shvuah D'Rabbanan. Fine. I asked the question yesterday. I asked the question again today. Rami Bar Chama knows both of these points. He's familiar. He's an Amora. So how can he look at our Mishnah and say, Shvuah D'oraisa? And meanwhile, of course it's not a Shvuah D'oraisa. There are two most basic questions. Okay, and yesterday I didn't have a suggestion. Today I still don't have a suggestion. Anyway, Ela Marava Midrabanan Kedei Lahafis Daita Shabav. And so the truth of the matter is that the Shvuah is the Shvuah D'Rabbanan, and what is it serving? It's serving as appeasement. Because consider, in other words, let's just for a moment look at it from the perspective of the husband. What just happened over here? From the husband's perspective, I paid the note. And not only did I pay the note, I have a witness that will testify that I paid the note. Like I'm going crazy over here. Now again, that's one side of the argument. The other side of the argument, of course, is that, well, she's still holding the note. What is she doing holding the note? Okay, so obviously over here there are two sides. But from his perspective, like he's frustrated. So over here now, it's not going to make him that much happier. But in order to provide some sense of appeasement, so she, in order for her to collect, she'll make a shvuah, albeit it's a shvuah de rabbanan. Okay. Now, we have...
When he elects the kesuva, the amount, he gives the note besides the kesuva itself, or he gives her the kesuva?
No, then when I say the note, I'm talking about the kesuva.
Right. But when she gets divorced, she's supposed to get back the kesuva. It's like,
No, she's holding the kesuva the whole time.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So, but you get divorced right now.
Good, you get divorced. Good. So she'll.
Supposed to get the kesuva back?
When he pays. Once he pays, and then he takes the kesuva back.
Yeah, because the kesuva is not just money, it's other things.
Correct. In other words, the kesuva is going to be the final settlement between him and her.
Right.
So once he pays the kesuva, that's it. He will have no more financial obligation.
I understand.
Right.
He's supposed to take back the
yes.
Ksuva.
Yes. When he pays the ksuva, so he's going to take it back, and then what he's supposed to then do, of course, is destroy it. Good. So that's the whole point. Now, we said yesterday, let's say it again today, and that is, my beinahu, what's the difference between a shvuah d'rabbanan and shvuah d'oraisa? Meaning she's going to go to court and she's going to make a shvuah, she's going to make an oath. What difference does it make, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So, Rashi yesterday's daf, Rashi's today's daf. So let's review what we learned Rashi yesterday's daf. So Rashi in yesterday's daf said the difference is going to be whether or not you can be mapech, whether or not you can go ahead and reverse the shvuah. Not reverse it. Okay, transfer the shvuah from one litigant to the other litigant, right? By shvuah d'rabbanan, here's what you can do. I need you to make a shvuah. For whatever reason, so now flip it. Flip it now where it's going to go to the counter litigant where he's going to make the shvuah in order to support his claim. Good. That's by Shvuah D'Rabbanan. By Shvuah D'Oraisa, there's no flipping. By Shvuah D'Oraisa, either you can make the Shvuah or you can't make the Shvuah. And if you can't make the Shvuah, then you're stuck. Then whatever the claim is against you, you're going to have to pay. Meaning, let's say, for example, Eid Echad, right? Give you a simple example. Shvuah Eid Echad. But in the classic D'Oraisa sense of Shvuah Eid Echad, I'm saying you owe me money. And on top of that, I have one witness. Now, where are you right now? So you're in a tight spot. You have to make a Shvuah. For whatever reason, you can't make the Shvuah. Okay? And there are reasons. For whatever reason, you can't make the Shvuah. Now what happens? Here's what happens. It's really simple. You pay the money. Okay? That's by Shvuah D'Oraisa. Had it been a Shvuah D'Rabbanan, so then by Shvuah D'Rabbanan, so now either you make the Shvuah and to prevent you from paying, and if you can't do so, so then I'll make the Shvuah and be able to collect. Okay, so that's one difference, and that's what we saw in Rashi yesterday. All right, what about Rashi today? Rashi in today's daf, right? The second Rashi in today's daf says that there's another difference between D'oraisa and D'rabbanan. which is that when you make a shvuah daraisa, so what do? So the achiza sefer biyado. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be holding a chumash in your hand, right? Chumash probably in the time of the Gemara meant to sefer Torah. So you're going to be holding a chumash in your hand, and so you're going to be making a shvuah with a chumash in your hands. That's a shvuah daraisa, a shvuah darabanan. So just stum, you're making a shvuah, but without holding the item. Okay, there are other differences as well. Anyway, so it matters whether or not it's a shvuah daraisa or darabanan. There are differences. There are nafkaminas. So now the Gemara says as follows: we are in the very top of Pechesim and Aleph, and that is Amara Papa. Okay, sorry, I just read the last three words. Okay, Pechesim and Aleph Amara Papa Ipikechu. Okay, so this Gemara over here is going to be a little bit complicated, but basically, is there a method, a manner in which he can upgrade the Shvua? He wants to upgrade it. He obviously, he really feels that he already paid, and he'd be much happier if she didn't just make a Shvua Darabanan, light Shvua, so to say, but like a heavy-duty Shvua Daraisa, because I really feel like I paid. So is there a way to upgrade the Shvua? So the Gemara over here goes over a couple suggestions in terms of how to upgrade it. So Ipikechu, so if the husband's smart, so what he's going to do? So Maisi Lali De Shvua Daraisa, in order to get her to make a Shvua Daraisa. So Yaiv Laksuva Ba'ape Chad Sahada. So what he's going to do is now he's going to pay the Ksuva. Now this will be, from his perspective, the second time he's paying the Ksuva. doesn't sound so smart. Right? The Gemara says Ipikechu, if he's really smart. Okay, but you'll see, obviously, the Gemara is going to try to generate a plan so that this will turn into a Shvua Daraisa. So, Ipikech lo yahiv laksuva ba'apichat sahada. And what he's going to do now is he's going to pay the ksuva in front of a second witness, meaning one witness, but again, from his perspective, this will be witness number two. Evesamach sada kama sada basra, umukim lo lahanach kamai b'milva. Now, what he's going to do is the following, and that is that he now has... how many witnesses? Two. Each one witnessing an event in which he gave her money. Now, as far as witness number one is concerned, so okay, fine. So you know what? That'll be a milva. That'll be a loan. And now the first one's going to be a loan. So now what? So now what is she denying on the first transfer of money? She's denying that she owes the money. Okay. Now on that, that will now, for her, from her perspective, be a shvua de araisa. Okay, good. So that's one suggestion in terms of how to turn into a shvua de araisa. So maskevar of shisha bered de rav idi heich samich sada kama asada basra. So the how are you doing that? How are you putting these two witnesses together? So el amar of shisha bered de rav idi. So yaiv laksuva sab ape sada kama visahada basra umukim la lahanech kamai behava. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we'll do. So what we'll do is that we will give the, he'll pay her a second time. And what he'll do is he'll take the first witness that he used the first time, ask him to come back again, please. And now, in the return of the first witness, he'll then get a second witness now. And he'll pay the ksuva now, right, in front of the both witnesses. And now, ksuva payment has been satisfied. And now, what about that first transfer of money? He'll call that first transfer of money a loan. Okay, and now, what is her denial on that first transfer of money? It's a denial of a loan. And that for that, she's going to have to make a Shvua Daraisa. So, Maskel, the Rav Ashi Akati, Yechol Lameh Mashtei Ksuva Savai. So, the Gemara says, okay. In other words, right, he's a Pikech, she could also be a Pikachas. She could be a bright woman. And she could say the following. Do you know why you paid me twice? It's so funny. I'll tell you why you paid me twice. Because I held on not to one, but I had to held on to two ksuvas. A woman can have multiple ksuvas by one husband. Oddly enough, the answer could be yes. It's possible. Now, it's really unlikely, but it's possible. So she can counterclaim with that. And now, he didn't get what he wanted. Meaning, all he wanted to do was upgrade the shvua from a derabbanan to a daraisa. And now, plan backfired. So the Gemara says, Ela am Rav Ashi. Hu de moda lahu. So what Rav Ashi says is what he'll do is the following. He'll give a moda. What's a moda? Okay, so unfortunately, if you've ever been at a get, So you know, or as we learn, go through the Masech Tegin. So you're going to hear this a couple of times, and that is the idea of a moda is basically what he does is he pulls the witnesses together before, and he says, "I'm doing this under duress," meaning I'm what I'm about to do. I'm rejecting it on the front end, and really, it's not going to have any legal significance. Okay, that's a moda. Over here, he's telling the witnesses, right? Look at Rashi. Right, there's a whole bunch of Rashi's which we didn't do, which normally is the case, but inside, but over here, the moda lahula sahada kamo vasu lifnei pirona sheni. So before he makes that second payment, so he takes the witnesses aside first and he says, du'u shikvar parati laksuvasa bifnei echan mikem v'ikol feris. Like, let me give you a little bit of background over here. I paid the ksuv, I did so in front of one witness. In fact, by the way, one of you were the witnesses, but and ve'ani rotzeh la parasheni. All I'm doing over here is that I'm paying her a second time only so that I can get her to make a shvua daraisa. So now that these witnesses were given the, you know, they huddled beforehand, so the witnesses now know that her counter argument that there were two ksuvas is not going to be a valid counter argument. Because Rashi says, how often is it that a woman is going to have two ksuvas? So for her to make that claim, it's going to be unlikely. And so therefore, a moda is going to be issued by the husband before using the two witnesses. And that's how you can upgrade from a shvua de rabbanan to a shvua de raisa. Okay. I'm not sure after 10 minutes of really a complicated piece of Gemara, in terms of upgrading the shvua from a derabbanan to a deraisa, and how do you scheme and how do you do so? Is the Gemara condoning such activity? Is the Gemara saying that this is really what he should be doing? Or is the Gemara just simply saying there is a way to do it, but not necessarily that we're condoning it? Unclear. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We are on Peches, Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots. It's about a third of the way down in the Amud. Menachas Meshubadim. Okay, so other circumstances. The Mishnah gave five different mitigating circumstances where the only way that she'll be able to collect her ksuva is only with a shvua. Again, default position is that she doesn't have to make a shvua when she collects her ksuva. Again, she's a note holder. But there's mitigation. And over here, another scenario is where she's collecting from the nechasim meshubadim, meaning the husband's no longer there. And she's just collecting from the properties, either properties that were sold or alternatively, properties that just simply went down to the next generation, to non-hasam. So first, let's learn a Mishnah Shavuos, and that is V'chein Yisomim, lo yiparu ela b'shua. So when it comes to Yisomim, so that's now the estate meaning the kids. So they should not be paying any obligations unless they get a shvua. So miman, they're getting a shvua from whom? So the Gemara says, wait one second, I don't understand. Meaning, are we talking about from the Lova? Meaning, if the estate is the lender, so now it's an account receivable. They inherited account receivable from the father. How is the father able to collect his account receivable without a Shvua? Don't you think that it's the same thing for them? Meaning, haven't they inherited the same strength of account receivable? So, elahachi kamar v'chena yisomim min hayisomim lo yipar ala b'shua. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. So what it means is as follows, is that when the yisomim are collecting from other yisomim, meaning both principals died, all right, we're talking about a barn lender, they both died, and now the account receivable and the account payable now are passed on now to the estate. And now it's estate to estate. So one estate is obviously holding the note. The other estate now has to pay. And under those circumstances, so now the only way that the estate collecting can collect is only via Shavua. That's the Mishnah Shavuos. Am Reb Zirik, Am Reb Yudah, Lo Shanu Ela, Sharmu Yisomim, Am Lanu Abba Levisi, Uparati. Ava Amru, Am Lanu Abba Lo Levisi, So the Rav Zrika, in the name of Yehuda, suggests the following. And that is, well, let's hear out now the estate of the Lova. The estate of the Lova, if they say, you know, it's funny, that when before Dad passed away, he said to us he never borrowed the money. And under those circumstances, now the estate doesn't have to pay if they make such a claim. Now, hopefully, that should bother you, because right now there is an estate who's holding the note, the other estate, and they're holding a note. So it's lovely to know that the other estate's claiming, hey, Dad told us he never borrowed the money. Oh, okay. That's funny. We're holding the note against you. It's to say the least, questionable. So Maskav l'Rava Adarabba Kolamar Lo Laviti Kolamar Lo Parati Dami. So the Gemara says, you know what Lo Laviti really translates into? Okay, so, right, let's take out a dictionary. Right, you look up Lo Laviti, I never borrowed money. Right, the definition of I didn't borrow money is I never paid you back. Right, in other words, it's basically just a simply a denial. A denial of not I didn't borrow the money, but I never paid you back. Now, how does that work? Meaning, how does that definition work? It's very simple. Because you're holding a note right now. The note is very powerful. It is a strong vehicle to go ahead and to collect money. And so over here, if the claim now is that, hey, Dad told us he never borrowed the money, it's tantamount to saying, yeah, it means he didn't pay you back. So Eli Yidmar, so the Gemara says, okay, point very well taken. And what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to go back and we're going to, let's say this again and say correctly. And that is Amar Azrika, Amar Rav Yehuda, Lo Shanu, Ella, Shamar Yisomim, Amar Lanu Abba, Levisi Uparati. Ava Amru, Amar Lanu Abba, Lo Levisi, Nefrain Shalo Beshur, Shakal Amar Lo Leviti, Amar Lo Parati Dame. So right. So if the estate of the account payable, if the estate of the borrower was saying, look, Dad told us that he did borrow the money, but he also told us that he paid us back. I don't know why you're holding the note, but Dad told us he paid you back. So there, okay, that's something now to take into consideration. The estate of the account receivable wants to now collect, they have to make a shvuah. Fine. And by the way, right, the Gemara and Shavuos talks about this. We're not really discussing it. What's a shvuah going to sound like? Meaning, we're no longer dealing with the principles over here. Meaning, it's not the borrower, it's not the lender, it's the estate of both. The estate of the borrower and the estate of the lender. So what is that shvuah sounding like? I swear that? What do you know? In other words, all you know is that you're holding a note that says that you're owed money. Okay. So the Gemara Shavuos deals with that. But anyway, but from the perspective of the, under those circumstances, you have to make a shvuah. However, if, let's say, the estate of the account payable says, hey, Dad told us he never borrowed the money, that's basically just another way of saying, I never paid. So and under those circumstances, now the account receivable estate can collect even without a shvuah. Okay, good. Adkan. V'nifrash lo b'fanav lo tipar lo b'shvuah. Okay, now, next. Next mitigating circumstance where she can only collect her ksuva with a shvuah, and that's going to be when he jumped ship. He left town. And now she wants to collect her ksuva, right? Plenty of assets over here, just not him. So can she collect? The answer is yes. But now that she's collecting and he's not here, which means, of course, that Beis Din's going into his property and taking assets. So under those circumstances, you have to make a shvuah. She has to make a shvuah. Amr of Acha, Sarha Bira Maisa Balifne Rabbi Yitzhak, Antuchka of Amr, Loshanu Elok Sivasisha, Mishum Chino. So this idea that you can now collect from your creditor, even while he's no longer available, he left town, that's only regarding a woman because of Chain. Again, what we want to do is we want to give women confidence and security of mind, knowing that, look, you will be financially protected. Your husband is a, forgive me for saying this, but your husband's a deadbeat and he left town. Don't worry. We are going to take care of you. So the Gemara says, I can understand that by Ksuvas Isha. But a general creditor? Lo, I don't, we're not going to go there and start taking assets on a regular creditor. So that's the opinion of Rav Acha. And Rav Amar Rav Nachman Afilu Balchov Shelo Yei Kol Echavecha Noto Ma'osav Shel Chaveru Ba'olach V'yoshe B'medina Siyam V'ato No Odels B'fnei Loven. And then the counter argument, which is the accepted halacha, is no regular creditor as well. In other words, by regular creditor, where he lent money to somebody and the guy just simply jumped ship and he left town. So under those circumstances, so Beis Din as well will not only advocate on behalf of the creditor, but what's it called? Take assets on behalf of the creditor. If the loan is left, because otherwise no one's going to lend money. Meaning, if we don't protect creditors and their ability to go ahead and to collect their loans, so then what's going to happen is that no one's going to want to lend money, and lending is just really important for economy. Okay, and aside from that, meaning that, you know, I've said that many times in the past. Aside from that, lending is a mitzvah, and so in order to promote lending for a number of really good reasons, so therefore the chachamim protect the creditor, and so over here the borrower left town, we're going to protect the creditor. Okay, good. And by the way, there are many details to fill in over here, which the Gemara does not do, and that is that. At what point is Beis Din going to go and start taking assets, and what conditions need to be met in order for Beis Din to go ahead and take assets? Taking assets from somebody while he's no longer around, it's not a small deal. It's a big deal. The Gemara says that's what we're going to do, but obviously, you know, there are details that need to be filled in. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kosman Shetovas Ksuva V'chulei. Okay, we are right now on the bottom of Pechesim and Aleph. We are at the two dots. And we're going over that line of Rabbi Shimon, if you recall. So go back to the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday's daf on Pei Zion started on Pei Zion Amid Aleph and ended on the top of Pei Zion Amid Beis. So after the Mishnah went over all the mitigating circumstances in which a woman is going to have to make a shvua in order to collect, there are five mitigating circumstances that the Mishnah took us through. Then, as you turn the daf yesterday from Pei Zion Amid Aleph to Pei Zion Amid Beis, then Rabbi Shimon made a comment. If you remember in yesterday's daf, what did I do? I read Rabbi Shimon. I didn't even bother translating. Why? Because it's vague. Now I'll do the same thing now, but obviously now that we're going about to do the Gemara, I'll translate. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kosman Shitoves Ksuvasa Hayorshim Hashbinosa. So as long as she herself can claim Ksuva, Yorshin is going to make a shvua. V'im Eino Tovas Ksuvasa. But if she's not claiming Ksuva, Eino Yorshim Hashbinosa. So then the inheritors of his estate are not going to have her make a shvua. What is he talking about? Who is he responding to? What point is he trying to make? Okay, good. It's called why we have a Gemara. So Rabbi Shimon Ahaya. So the Gemara now wants to know, what is Rabbi Shimon going on? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Gemara suggests the following. So Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests the following. Let's say Shalom Befanav. Okay, he ran away. And now she wants to collect. Now, what is she collecting? So what Rav Yirmiyah is suggesting is the following. The Tanakhama is telling you that what she's collecting is mizonos. Alternatively, ksuva. Again, let's remind ourselves. Mizonos now is the support that the widow is going to be receiving. The kozman, as long as she is living within the house. And then, if let's say she gets remarried, so at that point, or alternatively, if the estate decides that, you know what, we just want to pay the ksuva and settle, so that'll be the end. That'll be the settlement amount. According to Rav Yirmiyah's understanding of the Tanakhama, so Shelo B'fanav, if he's not there, so her ability to collect both on mizonos and on ksuva is going to require a shua. And Vazar Rav Shimon LaMeimar calls Mansha Tovas Ksuva Sa Yoshem Ashbino Sa and Eino Tovas Ksuva in Yoshem Ashbino Sa. And then what Rabbi Shimon is saying is no, that her requirement to make a ksuva to make a shvua is only when she's asking for a ksuva, not for mizonos. And this is a machlokus. When did we see this machlokus? We haven't yet. Coming up later in the Masechta. Let's say the husband went away and she wants to be supported. And her husband has a contractual financial obligation to support her. And right now, he didn't give instructions. He just ran away. So according to the Shita of Hanan, and that is so she'll make a shvua, but only at the end. Meaning when she's collecting her ksuva, but now when she's collecting mizonos. And nechliku Allah b'nei kohanim gedolim v'amru, and the b'nei kohanim gedolim. This is, by the way, just a really interesting machlokus in terms of who's having the debate. These aren't your classic tanayim of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, etc. Anyway, so tishava, b'tchila, uvesof. No, a double shua. a shvua on her collection of mazonos, and a shvua on the ksuva as well. So Rabbi Shimon kechanan v'rabbanan kivnei kohanim gedolim. As the Gemara says, and that is now going to be the machlokus in our Mishnah as understood by Rav Yirmiya. So, Rav Yirmiya says, what's Rabbi Shimon addressing? Whether or not a shvua has to be made on mizonos. Tanakama says yes, and Rabbi Shimon says no. And this is echoing a machlokus that we're going to see later in the Masechta.
We didn't cover the concept that she has to take a shvua from mizonos. We never had that before, did we?
Because we haven't had it yet, exactly. In other words, it's coming up later in the Masechta.
Taking an oath for getting mizonos. Mizonos is like, you know, she just asked for it. She's supposed to get it.
Correct. I understand. We haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. It's coming up later. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. That's coming up later. And the Gemara now is suggesting that that's the Machlokas in our Mishnah. So, Maskal Rav Sheshes, Ha Yorsha Mashminosa, Beisim Mashminosa Mi Baile. The Gemara says, okay, but no. Meaning, yes, that's a Machlokas later on. It's not what's happening in our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, who's compelling her to make a Shvua? The Yorshim. If this is an issue of Mizonos, and she's going to Beis Din. Because Beis Din is the one who's now going to go into the estate in order to take. So Elam Rav Shesha, so this is now going to be try number two. So aha mi kever ba'al le-beis aviyah, o-shechaz le-beis chameha, v'lona ses apitropia, n'osher mashbinosa. So v'im na'ses apitropia, yorshin mashbinosa, ala asid lavom. Okay, so you remember that if, let's say, for example, after the funeral, so if she no longer has financial relationship with the estate, so that's it. In other words, she's done, and no shvua needs to be made. However, if she is asked, right, to go ahead and to manage the estate. So now, from this point going forward, she has to make a shvua. Vein mashbinosa al mashavar. Ve'as Rabbi Shimon lemeimer kos man shetovas ksuva so yorshim mashbinosa. Ein otovas ksuva ein yorshim mashbinosa. And according to Rabbi Shimon, no, the shvua only has to be going on the ksuva. So the But in other words, but there's not going to be a shvua on any of the handling of the estate. And over here, this is going to be echoing a different machlokus, and that's the following. Okay, apotropos. You're appointed a custodian of an account. So do you have to make a shvua? It depends on who appointed you, and it depends which position you subscribe to. Okay? And we have a basic machlokus over here amongst Tanayim, Abashal and the Chachamim, in terms of whether or not your shvua is going to be required as a predicate of who appointed you to be to be the trustee. According to, let's just go over both positions. According to the Tanakama. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. According to the Tanakama, which also was the Chachamim. So if the Aviyasomim appointed you to be the trustee, so you have to make a shvua. On the other hand, if Beis Din did so, you don't have to make a shvua. Okay, what's the thought process over here? Thought process like this. If Beis Din appointed you to be a trustee, so what does that do? So that drives your credit score way up there. And now I say credit score, I don't really mean credit score, but I do mean it. Meaning in the sense that now you got a Beis Din appointment to be a trustee, a lot of people now are going to trust you. You're going to get more places in life. It's like a credit score. Meaning that when your credit score is high, so you have, there are just simply many more doors that are going to open to you. So over here, if Beis Din appointed you to do so, so fine. I see what I just did. I just explained Abishal. Okay. So everything I said is good, just not on the Chachamim. I'm sorry. Let's take that to Abishal. So therefore, according to Abishal, since your credit score now goes up, so therefore what? So therefore, what are we going to ask you to do afterwards? We're going to ask you to make a shvua? Okay, no problem. Meaning, because I really benefited, I really gained in doing so. Because of now my higher credibility amongst the community. Okay, fine, I'll make a shvua. That won't be a deterrent. That's the thought process of Abishal. On the other hand, according to the Chachamim, just the opposite, right? According to the Chachamim, if the Avi Yisomim asked you to be the apotropos, the trustee, then you have to make a shvua. Why? Because if you were asked by the family, it means that obviously you have some sort of connection with them, consideration with them. I mean, there's a reason why they're asking you. And so over there, now you're gonna say yes, you're gonna make a shvua. On the other hand, if Beis Din appointed you to do so, now mind you, by the way, this is going to be the opposite of what I just argued. If Beis Din asked you to do so, so then, in other words, so now you're doing so more altruistically, so Beis Din waived you from having to make a shvua. So basically, we can argue in either direction, which the Chachamim, in fact, do. This is the debate between Abishal and the Chachamim. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that's the same debate in our Mishnah as well. So Maskevla Abayi says no. High calls Mancha Tavas Suvasa Im Tavas Mi Baye. No, the language doesn't fit, because if that's in fact true, so what the Mishnah should then say is Im Tavas Suvasa, not Kolzman Shetavas Suvasa. So Elam Rabbi. So now we're up to the third try. Aha Kasavla Neder Ushvua Ainli Alayech Ainli Achol Lashbiya. Okay, so what we're going back now to the first Mishnah of the ninth parak of the Masechta. And that is where he writes her a waiver. And he says, look, I'm not going to have you make a shvua. So, nedu shvua in li, v'lo li yorsha, v'lo l'bayim b'rishusi, alach v'al yorshach, v'al abayim b'rishusech. So, ein yachol lashbi alohu, v'lo yorsha, v'lo abayim b'rishuso, lo he, v'lo yorsha, v'lo habayim b'rishuso. Good. So, you remember now, as we got to the end of that Mishnah, and that was just a couple days ago, and over there, if you write a fully encompassing waiver, where you're going to be waiving everybody from having to make a shvua. So, effectively, you waived everybody from having to make a shvua, including when she's making a claim against your estate. You're no longer here. She now is claiming against the estate. I need to get paid by my ksuva. In the circumstance where he wrote the waiver, where it was a full, all-encompassing waiver, so then she can collect without having to make a shvua. Vasa Rabbi Shimon Lamemer calls Mansha Tavas Tuvasa Yoshimash Menosa Vekamithlki Beplukta Dabishal Ben Ima Miriam Virabanan. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. Even when the waiver was an all encompassing waiver, in the event that she's coming and collecting from the estate, she has to make a shvua. Why? We'll go back to what we learned yesterday. It's a machlokas. Same machlokas that we're suggesting right now. Rabbi Shimon ka Abishal, and Rabbanan ka Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shimon is going like Abishal. So the Gemara says, okay, Maskel for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, good. So you know what you did? We almost succeeded. Meaning what we were looking for right now, pshat in our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon. You gave a good pshat in Rabbi Shimon in his first statement, but he made two statements. So ha-teinach kos mancha tovas ktuvasa, eino tovas ktuvasa, ma'ikel ha-meimar. But there was a second part to that statement of Eina Tavas Ksuvasa, where she's not demanding her Ksuva. So, El Amara Papa, La Fuke, Midra Belezer Machlukaso. So, the Gemara says that second statement of Rabbi Shimon, is going on the statement of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, what was the statement of Rabbi Eliezer? Okay, so this also goes back, takes us back a couple days ago. And that is that if she's minding the store, the family store, so now the husband can have her make a shvua. But what if she's not minding the family store, but just in other words, home finance, home economics, where in other words, she brought thread and whatever other things into the house. She was given money to spend on items for the home. Does she have to make a shvua on that? Rabbi Eliezer said, "Yep, she's got to make a shvua on that as well." Now we already pointed out when we learned this position, Rabbi Eliezer, it's extreme. Not only did we say that, much more importantly, the Gemara said that. That's an extreme viewpoint. In other words, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're living with a woman, you don't trust her, right? Home ec. In other words, money, right? Just simple day-to-day purchases that she's making for the house, and you can make her make a shvu on that? That you didn't skim any money off the top? That's absurd. Under those circumstances, so now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can have her make a shvua, and the Chachamim said, no, it's that, you know what it's comparable to? Like living with a snake in a basket. Right? It's a on, untenable, untenable position. So over here, the same thing. In other words, what Rabbi Shimon in his second statement is saying is that I'm co-signing on that point, which is it's untenable. She will not have to make a shvuah. The only time she's going to need to make a shvuah is only when she's collecting her ksuba. Okay, adkan. Good. That takes us to the end of today's daf. Perfect. So where are we today? So we went over the five mitigating circumstances in which a woman will be able to collect her ksuva, but will have to make a shvuah. And in today's daf, in the course of today's daf, so we went over a couple of things. Number one is that the shvuahs in our Mishnah are all shvuahs to Rabbanan, not shvuahs to Raisa, even though a couple of times Rami Bar Chama got duped by our Mishnah. He thought that our Mishnah was talking about shvuah to Raisa. It's not talking about shvuah to Raisa, it's talking about shvuah to Rabbanan. Right? Shtei shuvas bedavar. And so that's what we saw today. We went over, is there a way to upgrade the shvuah from a derabbanan to a deraisa? The answer is yes, but it's complicated. Okay, good. The nechasim meshubadim. If let's say the husband jumps ship, so now she can collect her ksuva. Is that true only regarding a woman collecting her ksuva? Is that true regarding all creditors? Machlokas. The conclusion is it applies to all creditors. Then okay, good. That's Pei Chesamad Aleph. Then we got to the bottom. And for the bottom of Pei Chesamad Aleph, to the end of today's daf, just a simple pshat in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when she's not asking for a ksuva, no shvua. When she is asking for a ksuva, then there is a shvua. Who was he addressing? What was he responding to? What point was he making? Okay, it took the Gemara, the entirety of Pei Chesamad Beis, to just simply wrap its head around what Rabbi Shimon was responding to. After tries, twice unsuccessful, the Gemara then finally concluded on what Rabbi Shimon was in fact responding to. Two separate points that we learned earlier. And that is number one, that even with a waiver, waiving her from a shvuah, but when she's collecting from the estate, she has to make a shvuah. That's point number one of Rabbi Shimon. Point number two of Rabbi Shimon is that while they're married and any of the home finances, she does not have to make a shvuah over.